I'm Maria's Friar Roderick here for AaronMaria.com. We're at Griswold, Connecticut with Father Peter Fellner. How you doing, Father?
Pretty good. Thank you, Father.
Good to have you here. He's visiting from Italy. He is our council member in Italy. And last night we had a Tridentine Mass, a high Tridentine Mass, and it was very inspiring and very edifying. And what was most interesting about the Mass was that we decided to do it about a day and a half ago, prior to the Mass. And in that short time, we were able to transform this the chapel into a Tridentine Mass chapel, and a Tridentine Mass. And that was interesting because everyone says how different the Mass is. And what would you say about that, Father?
Well, I would simply say this. We could prepare at a minimum of time in the chapel because we built the chapel on the basis of a sound theology, a sound architectural, artistic, liturgical criteria, those which the present Pope used. There is no substantial difference between old rite and new rite. Right? If there is, then the differences, as it were, that make the new rite seem completely different have to go. That's the message the Pope is delivering. This is why he wants the old rite, as people call it, but it really isn't the old rite, it's the same Mass, celebrated along with the new rite so that people can see that what is new in the new rite is not the substance, it's merely certain adaptations within certain limits for practical advantages. Just as they were inserted, they can be removed, but the Mass will be the same. And if a chapel, if a church, if an altar is built according to the traditional norms, you can do both versions of the same Mass with equal ease.
Right.
The problem is that after the council, people didn't follow. Right now, they supposed that there was something completely new, you know, a complete new slate. That's
right.
The point.
No altar.
That's what the Pope is saying it all the time. You can't introduce that kind of division. You only get schism.
That's what we seem to be having between the traditionalists and the liberals.
The Tridentine is a misnomer. The Tridentine rite itself, is, say, Tridentine, involved a few minor adaptations. They've been going on for two millennia, but everybody didn't. Nobody thought they were starting a new Mass.
Right.
Mass. It's the Mass that was established by our Lord. And that's why so many people, when they see the old rite performed, they are wonderful. They understand better what is going on in the with the adaptations since the council. Of course, there's another reason thing we must bring up here, and the Pope has in mind. People will say, well, it looked like something completely okay. He's insisting. He doesn't care how many people actually come to the Tridentine Mass. Sure. He's insisting there be a visible presentation of what he has been saying ever since he was elected Pope, theology, liturgy, etc. There is no substance. You can see it right there. And the second point is, all the abuses that have destroyed the faith of so many, many have to be eliminated. You can't reconcile it in terms of continuity with, quote-unquote, the Tridentine. Get rid of it.
Right.
It's
so,
not
so
legit.
That's right. So it's removal of the altar rails, removal of the kneelers.
According to him. Right. He doesn't want the altar always facing the people. That's
right.
Not the whole idea. That's entertainment.
Right.
The idea of the Mass for the priest and the people together, is address themselves to the Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ. That's the whole point. It's not a pedagogical lesson.
Right.
It doesn't matter that everybody doesn't understand fully the Latin all the way through. What they have to understand is they are involved in the mystery of worship and stupendous, wonderful honor paid them, the coming of Jesus and Holy Communion. Maybe he picked the Feast of the Triumph of the Holy Cross. What could be more precious than the cross of Christ, sharing in the cross of Christ? Whereas so often the Mass is celebrated as though it's another exercise, an academic lecture someplace. You're having a priest, you got a professor up there.
Right.
Making eye contact with all that nonsense. You're not supposed to be making eye contact with the people. You're supposed to be making eye contact with God.
Yeah. So it's really should be very similar then to the Trinitine Mass, how we do it, and having the altar rails and have your churches built that way so that these false adaptations are not there, then really when you have the altar rail and the room in front of the altar to do the Ad Orientum, and you have all the candlesticks and the congregation's used to all the Latin responses, and you basically have a very easy transition from the Tridentine to the Novus Ordo back
exactly
and forth.
What the Pope hopes to be effected is a very tangible, sensible presentation of the mystery. And this is what impresses people. And when that's not done, what happens? They give up on the faith. There's nothing to believe here.
Right.
It can get better on the TV.
Yeah, it is done better on TV, especially in the modern churches.
Performers.
Right.
It's not a performance. It's not an academic lecture, somebody's hoax seminar, whatnot, in Tübingen or Berlin or Oxford, wherever you have it, Princeton, one of those places. We're in the presence of the triune God.
Right.
And we're privileged to be able to enjoy the communion of communication in a very special way. This is what has been lost by all of this adaptation, as though everything, as it were, is up for grabs. You talked about the communion rail. What's the point? The point, very simply, is it's a concrete realization. There is a difference between the priest, first of all, Jesus Christ, and the rest of us. And if we don't have that marked out, we can all, as it were, be buddy-buddy, hi, you pal, that sort of stuff that was the way of speaking about, they had one, a parody of that for confession, dig me, daddy, I goofed. So, what happens? Happens. And God is no longer God.
Right.
You have no sense of dignity. And when God is no longer God, what are we? We become just animals.
Right.
So they're going to start trying to make a hybrid. Human cow or something. I heard that just the other day in England.
Scientists right
getting permission, as it were, to experiment with a human seed and a bovine ovum.
Yeah. Welcome to Adolf Hitler, right? And all his experimentation.
Welcome to hell.
Yes. Right.
That's what you get. And also, it destroys the dignity of man. There's nothing left. It's a simple thing like an altar rail or the rood screen in Asia. It does make sense. The Orientals have something more than that. It's almost like a wall, the rood screen. When the liturgy of the Eucharist begins, the priests are not visible to the people. They can hear, but they cannot see. And so but to go to that complete opposite extreme, is practical denial of the supernatural. It's a denial of God,
right.
Denial of the Savior, of the Redeemer, and most people, even those who lack, they can see that point.
So having the continuity then is will not only make it easier to go back to the Trinity Mass, but would have prevented the extremes in the other direction too.
You want to note one other point, what the Pope is noting is not really going back. But in maintaining continuity, we can have true renewal.
And there's no going back.
True preparation for heaven. That's what renewal is all about. We can't turn the clock back. But it's another matter to say that what we are now doing in preparing, as it were, for the final triumph of Christ is something completely different from what we did in the past.
Right.
It's a very simple thing, and yet people seem to have so much difficulty with metaphysics, that is, to get beyond the merely natural. That's what it means in Greek, metaphysics.
Right. Yeah, so in one morning, basically, we transformed our chapel into a Tridentine Mass.
Yeah, not really a transformation. It was just a rearrangement of a few secondary items, like candles and the mass cars, this freestanding altar. So instead of celebrating facing as they want, but the Pope really doesn't want anymore, but eventually he'll get around to changing that, we celebrated facing the east.
It was simple as that.
And nobody, everybody faced it. When the altars in Rome that faced the people, or seemed to face the people, really didn't face the people. They were facing east at that particular point because of the way the church was. So when the priest, the celebrant, faced east, all the people, people had their backs to the sun. Everybody faced east because the priest is speaking for the people to God the Father. He's not speaking to the people, but for them, to somebody else. And everybody faces at somebody else. When you're facing east, and when the priest is facing east and not facing the people are behind him, but they're facing east too. That's the point. It's liturgical. It's not entertainment. It's not academic or anything like that. The professor speaks to the students. Obviously, it's a different arrangement. He can't turn his back to them and give a lecture.
Yeah.
That's the best way to put everybody to sleep immediately. Yes. Besides insulting them.
Right, right.
But this is not an insult.
Right.
Because it's not just the priest. He is speaking for the rest. This has been totally lost.
Much more God-oriented, right?
Yeah, but that's what it's supposed to be. Right. Otherwise, not liturgy.
There's no point in coming to church otherwise.
There's absolutely no point. And so a lot of people don't come to church anymore.
Right.
I don't say that's right, because in a sense, the essential for validity is there in most cases.
Right.
But however, it's understandable that they don't come to church. Because for the average person, there has to be some sacramental, visible, tangible point of contact. Otherwise, their face is an abstraction.
It was funny that the only big change we had to do was the mass cards. We didn't have mass cards in operation. They're old mass cards, and they had to be refurbished. We had to clean the glass. We had to fix redo the frame. Because we had done so much work with gold leaf on doing the actual chapel, actually doing that gold leaf only took a morning, and we had it all looking as if they're brand new.
This
almost
is a different kind of adaptation. It's like cleaning up a dirty chapel before you celebrate Mass, or washing the altar linens or something.
That's right.
That's not a transformation of the chapel.
Right. That's all it was. Right.
The altar cards were not necessary, or judged not necessary. It's an adaptation. They are very serviceable in the older rite because there are longer prayers, and especially if you're not habituated to speaking Latin anymore, it's easy to have, especially when you're older, slip of the memory, go blank all of a sudden. You know, what word comes next? You have to start over from the beginning to find out where you are.
Right.
So it's a very useful thing. You know, evidently, people in centuries gone by had the same difficulty, and that was a handy way of reading. So, sort of, what do they call those things in the TV? They have it looked as though you were giving a speech right off the top of your head, and it was all up there in a box. You were reading off something as though you weren't
a
prompter. That's what the altar cards are. They're prompters.
Right. So is if you brush up those and give a few instructions to the altar servers and brush up on the Latin a little bit, and you're off and running.
If you understand the principles of the Mass, liturgically speaking, how it's structured, etc., the rubrics seem to be overly detailed, but they're all perfectly logical, and after a few tries, get used to it. There's nothing that requires robot action there. There's an explanation for all of them. This is true also in the adaptations after Vatican II. The problem of the Pillar is not because of Vatican II as such, but because of the way that it has been systematically interpreted in the popular press. Partly, as the Pope says, the responsibility of certain irresponsible theologians in cahoots with the secular mass media. And they've left the impression widespread throughout practically the whole world. It's a completely new ball game. Mm. Everything in the old liturgy, the principles governing it, genuflection, all that, is irrelevant.
What did you say about the Tridentine, the traditionalist extreme as far as the schismatic part?
Well, it's a second agenda there. It's good that you support the use of Latin. That was a mistake to abandon it. However, insisting on private judgment, every little detail, that the Pope is automatically wrong if he adapts something of this kind, this is the equivalent of private judgment. Scripture alone, tradition alone, and we're the ones that know what tradition means. You have to watch out for the second or the ulterior objective. Of course, not everything, every decree that comes out from this or that prelate is necessarily the best. But when we set ourselves up as the judge, where only Christ is the judge of the Pope or the bishop, and so on, that we do as much to undermine the unity of the Church as those on the extreme left wing. Basically, we're introducing political considerations, left and right, conservative, liberal, where they are totally irrelevant.
Right.
Theology is at a different level, is far more basic and far more comprehensive, and has its own method and criteria. So I wish them all well, but I wish they wouldn't insist so much on private judgment.
Right. So it's the Pope's doing is really bringing together these two extremes very well and showing where.
Yeah, he's affirming the right principles, which right. I think if they had been followed, and he said it himself, if they had not abolished Latin, if they had not turned on to that, if they had not introduced after the Council all these things, we'd be a lot better off at the present time, and the real values of the Council would be enjoyed. Instead, we haven't even begun to mine values there, and we have people saying on one side we need another council to be even more radical, and on the other side we have it's the council's all the fault. We just issue directives, boom, 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 like lightning bolts, and everything will be okay.
Right.
Which of course is living in an imaginary world, unreal world.
So
it doesn't work that way.
Suppose taking the wind out of the sails of the extremists,
yeah,
basically.
That's right. Effectively, it's on an end run here.
Right. That's excellent.
That's the value. It's fixed. It can't go back on it because he intervened on his own authority. Motu proprio means that.
Yeah.
He wasn't asked by theology. He wasn't even asked by the bishop. He is taking the initiative.
Right.
And once a pope takes the initiative in that way, no matter what happens, no matter how much or how little cooperation he gets, then the church is on another. The bark of Peter is sailing straight ahead, avoiding all the shoals and rocks on either side.
And on that ground, it's really not neither the traditionalists or the liberals can really get mad. Right?
Yeah, basically, he's preempting the discussion and organizing it on a completely different basis. Now, if you take up one or the other of those positions, you don't have much of a following to look forward to. You're just making noise.
Right.
And the amassed people who still trust the Pope and are impressed by this, they simply say, oh, they got another fanatic. And go on with their participation in the Eucharist. That's his objective. He's not trying to play politics. He's trying to reaffirm the faith. This is what our Lord told St. Peter to do on the night before he died. And he said, Peter, you are going to be sifted like wheat by the devil. But don't worry, I'm taking care of you. You don't have to worry how bad it gets. And after you have been confirmed in your faith, confirm your brethren. That's what the Pope is doing.
That's great.
He's the only one who can do that because our Lord said it to no other but St. Peter. The only one who can confirm the bishops so they can confirm us.
So the Holy Father is being a true successor of St. Peter.
That's right.
Thank you very much, Father.
Very good. Pleasure being here.
Yeah. And it's good to have you here. And this is Friar Roderick here for AirMaria.com. And thank you for viewing us, and God bless you.